Well, welcome to a Panthers pre-game podcast. We're looking ahead to a huge weekend of ice hockey, which starts on Friday with a trip to the Glasgow Clan and then Coventry Blaze, the in-form team in the Elite League, visiting Nottingham on Saturday, 7 p.m. face-off. More about that in a moment. But we will start by looking ahead. Sorry, I should say looking back at last weekend, joined by Jono Bullard, Ken Feiss, and Chris Gadsby. Evening, guys.
Evening.
Evening. Karina said he was joining, I think, but he's not here yet. Before we go on, I want to ask Chris Gadsby, what is on the whiteboard behind you? There's just lots of team names and things.
Oh, that is my women's football fixture chart for tiers three and four. So there's 72 teams on there, and it's all of their fixtures for the next 7 weeks. And it helps me look at who's got what coming up for my radio show about women's football.
Fabulous. And you wrote that all out by hand.
Oh, yeah.
That is
Yeah, I'd made all the lines
dedication.
and everything, and then I update it every week. So it's like a 7 week rolling thing.
One day we'll make this.
ChatGPT or Copilot would have done that in about 38 seconds.
What, on a physical whiteboard?
No, I mean you could have had it, I suppose, as a document. But I'll never use ChatGPT. I guarantee you I'll never use it. I'm old fashioned. Anyway, let's talk hockey. Let's start with Saturday because we are going to reflect.
Just a random. This is so random. Hang on a minute. You will never ever use ChatGPT. You are so full. You half the text messages you sent me, I'm sure, are like off ChatGPT.
I have okay. I am yet to use ChatGPT. I've been sent statements, press releases and stuff, maybe, and that stuff, other people have shown me how useful ChatGPT. I can't even get it right.
You're a proper journalist.
Other people have shown me how useful it can be. I'm yet to use it. Will I one day use it? Maybe. Probably cut my job in half. Like a story that takes me 15 minutes to write, probably take me 2 seconds, wouldn't it? So maybe I'm only harming myself. But you're right. I like the old-fashioned way of creating words myself. That's what a journalist is all about, surely. How did we get onto this?
This cul-de-sac. Get us out of this cul-de-sac,
Yeah, this
Chris.
cul-de-sac. But yeah, maybe one day.
Loyal.
So Saturday, I thought it was a crazy game because I don't think we played that bad. In actual fact, I think you play that game 10 times. Panthers probably win it 9 times. And look, I thought Dundee were brilliant. Dundee just, they were ruthless. I mean, we'll come on to Sunday. We were the exact opposite on Sunday. Everything we did wrong on Saturday, we did right on Sunday. But going to Saturday, I don't think we played badly. We just had breakdowns for their goals, which were sloppy errors, and we just weren't ruthless up front. We overplayed the puck. We controlled the possession, but we did nothing really with the puck. So I look back at that, and yes, it's frustrating, but it wasn't a dreadful performance. The stars were there for the taking. But yeah, they were great. They were ruthless on the rush. They kept a lot of our chances. They kept us to the outside at times. And more credit them. But Jono, how frustrating, we'll talk about the good on Sunday in a minute, but it was a game where I remember seeing you straight after the game going, it was crazy, they had so many chances. What was it, 40 something in the end?
42 shots, I think, in the end to 19.
Were many of them huge chances? And again, I don't think many of them were huge chances at shots on goal, but the amount of time the puck just kind of went out of possession of a Panther at the last moment. It was one of those nights, but Jono, Panthers players will look at themselves that night and know they had to be better.
I think it was just the fact that there was probably trying to walk it in at times rather than just when they had the opportunity to take maybe a one-time shot, it wasn't taken. And Danny alluded to that in his post-game interview as well, that that we was trying to be a bit over elaborate. And I think he even said the same thing to Sam in the first interval interview on the bench, that we was probably just trying to overplay it a bit too much. Dundee weren't overplaying it, and because of that, they was extremely clinical in front of goal. And I think it was emphasised when they had that 3-on-1 breakaway for their fourth.
Just brilliant.
A great, great pass from Otto, and Dryden Dow sticks it in the roof of the net. So, but I thought Dundee as well, when defensively, I thought they were outstanding. They were putting bodies on the line, collapsing in front of pucks. And like you say, they were keeping us to the outside quite a bit. But I think Panthers will look at that one in the future and certainly say that that was definitely 2 points dropped.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like the Clan game where they never got going on the road at the Clan. They just didn't get going. It was one of those nights. You're going to have them in a season. Mm. You know, they just couldn't get going. It was one of those ones where, you know, it was there for the taking. It was frustrating, and we'll kind of not dwell on that too much. Greener, I'll come to you. He's just arrived. Welcome, Greener. You're a bit late, but we've not been going too long.
Evening, everyone. Sorry, yeah, it just took me a minute to log on. That's all right.
I just want to talk about how important it, you know, the fact that Saturday didn't go our way. When you have a result like that, especially a three-game skid, three losses in a row, how important was it for that performance on Sunday? You know, the dressing room. I think I said to Danny in the interview that went live today. We do so many, I lose track. And I said, you know, three losses in a row isn't panic stations, but it was the first sign of a bit of real pressure. And how much do you think the players, you know, important was they reacted in Cardiff?
Oh, it was huge. I think it was just really important that we had a game the next day, because I think sometimes, you know, that's, we always say that's a good thing about hockey. When you lose or you play poorly, you know, you have a chance to redeem yourself almost straight away. And I think if they'd have, you know, lost that game Saturday and then kind of had the whole week to sit around, or, you know, a few days to sit around, it's a bit somber. But the fact they could just go and play the next day, and it was great, you know. Probably a fixture you wouldn't have picked if you've lost three in a row going into playing a Devils team that hadn't played the night before, you know, almost the worst cauldron you could go into. So you know, even more tip your hat to them for coming out with such a big win. But yeah, I think, you know, if you lose that game, you know, obviously it's four in a row and it starts to snowball. And yeah, I think, you know, obviously a little bit, you know, disappointing on Saturday, but it just shows the character and also just how good Danny Stewart is, that, you know, I think years gone by, after a few losses, the team does, you know, the heads go down. It's a bit of a struggle, but the way he can get them back up so quickly and so fired up for such a big game, I think is a big reflection on Danny and Linton. So yeah, massive result. And just a great way to kind of break that little slump very quickly.
Ken, how did you break down the two performances? It's just intrigued to see if you're agreeing with what has been said so far. You know, they were night and day. And I'm not talking about sort of, as I say, that we got some things right on Saturday. We just got the crucial things wrong. But on Sunday, they were clinical on the rush. I heard Paul Thompson talking after the game, and he described Panthers of doing exactly, you know, all the things that they said that we were great at were the things we weren't great at on Saturday. But it was so good to see the way they bounced back, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think, I mean, dealing with Saturday night first, obviously very, very frustrating. I think every mistake of ours was clinically punished by Dundee. So, you know, you were like Jono said, that rush, you know, they took some big gambles in that game. I mean, they missed that, and all of a sudden, you know, it's they're very short at the back. So I think, you know, everything was clinical from them. They punished all our mistakes, and it just wasn't our night. I think what did work well for us, and maybe was something that you maybe wanted to see a bit more of during the game, is obviously David Noel's shots an absolute cheat code, and when he was deploying that, I mean, he if it wasn't for that tip from was it Timmy Doherty, he'd have had a hat trick, wouldn't he, in the game. So their netminder played extremely well, and he seemed to be very good, reactionary, very close. But yeah, those shots from range, the redirections, felt like maybe there was a bit of a missed opportunity there. We could have got that going a little bit earlier, but it is what it is. And yeah, it's history, ifs and buts and all of that. And yeah, whether that played a part, I suspect, yeah, as you say, three games on the bounce, yeah, it does play a part. You maybe, dare I say it, there's a bit of that, you know, lag after the Continental Cup. Those games were such high energy. And, you know, the Panthers fan base is brilliant. They always bring the noise. They always bring the energy. But possibly that drop in intensity of the whole atmosphere and environment from the game, particularly against Katowice, and then obviously the game against Torpedo, which were particularly great atmospheres. Maybe there's a bit of that kind of just, you know, getting back to used to being in the Elite League again. And then I guess going to Cardiff, yeah, perfect game to bounce back. And it's one of those things that's like my most of my messages that I send to people or whatever was like, that's just so Panthers to do that, to go and you know, do that against Dundee the night before and then convincingly beat the Cardiff Devils in their own barn, which is no mean feat. And you know, it was a physical game as well. There's a lot of incidents in the game which you can talk through. You know, Dops have had their say on a few of those incidents. There's clearly rage from certain parts of the Devils fan base around that, which is you know, yeah, quite interesting. But yeah, I just think though, what I will say is we just looked really convincing in that game, but also we did make some errors. And I think it was not a flawless game against Cardiff. There were a few, if you look at the highlights particularly, Cardiff had some really good opportunities. And I think that's what Paul Thompson was kind of ruining, was the fact that they did have some opportunities to be level or to matches in that game. And the difference was we were clinical and they weren't. And we took the points out of Cardiff. And that is why on any given night, any team in this team league can beat any team. And you have to show up 100% and you've got to be dialed in. Otherwise, any team will literally beat any team. So that's, you know, yeah, 2 points lost, but it's history. Is it 21 games left now, Jono, or 20?
20. 20.
20 games, right. Yeah, so 21 was Cardiff. And then, so 20 games left. So we just got to go after that. And other teams will slip up. You know, other teams have got problems. Other teams have got issues with injuries, suspensions, all sorts of things. It is. There's a lot of hockey to play.
What about you, Chris Gadsby? Everyone else has had their say. How did you break down what you saw over the weekend?
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at the game on Saturday, Dundee clearly had a plan. And you look at the tracking on the Elite League website, Panthers with 79 total shots to Dundee's 28, but 55 of those were low danger. And then you've only got to add up the number of block shots that Dundee had. They blocked 19 shots over the course of the game. It was, you know, they put a lot of bodies on the line, as Jono said. I think if you were only going to win one game over the course of the weekend, I think people would have picked the one against Cardiff, obviously, because Cardiff are 0-1 of a team fighting towards the top. But, the Dundee one, yes, it wasn't great, but it seemed to almost kick the team into that big win against Cardiff, which happened, of course, earlier in the season when we had that 6-3 home loss to Manchester and then went to Cardiff and won 5-0. So there is that element to it. But you know, hopefully that will really fire the team, because you know, February is massive. There's a lot of home games. You know, we now know we're going to go on to this weekend with Glasgow and Coventry. But then obviously the weekend after that is the double Belfast. Then midweek you've got the home leg against Sheffield. Then that weekend there's a home game against Cardiff. There's massive games coming up. And hopefully that win away in Cardiff will kickstart the Panthers into another good run of form.
Jono, it's really going down to the wire, isn't it? You know, like, yes, Belfast have got that jump on everyone at the moment, but I mean, there's some massive games around the corner in literally, what, a week and a few days, you know, a doubleheader at home to Belfast. While I think people probably looking from afar would say, well, Belfast must look the favourites, I think both, you know, certainly in the dressing room, I've probably seen fans of all clubs apart from Belfast throwing the towel in, and that includes some of our own fans threw the towel in on us, you know, in the loss to Dundee, which I thought was a little bit crazy. But, you know, like you said the other week, I think I asked you about, is Sheffield's challenge still alive? Well, they've got 4 points, I think, since you said that. And yeah, like, I personally think this title race will be won by somebody on the last weekend. That's how deep I think it's going to go. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I agree. Some people are probably seeing I've set up a tracker and I'm updating every week for all four teams. And if you look at that, there's a lot of games between the four teams. So there's so much hockey to be played. We've got to play Belfast four times in two double headers. So it depends who wins those. We've got to play Cardiff still. We've got to play Sheffield still. And they've got to play each other. You cannot call it from 20 games out when the team at the top are only, I think they're 4 points clear of Cardiff, 5 points clear of us. And they've got to play us four times still. Cannot be called yet. No, not a chance. I think, like you, I think it's going to go very close to the end of the season. If not the last week, then certainly the week before.
What about you, Ken? Do you echo those sentiments? I mean, it's. I just think it's set for a fascinating conclusion.
Yeah, definitely. I think what is for it? It's like, and then you've got like the Coventry Blaze, who are like that meme of the Grim Reaper just going into doors with different clubs' names on, just moving up the thing. So, yeah, I think the games between sides that are in the race are really important. But I actually think it's going to be decided by the consistency against clubs that you would argue, if you are in the race, if you're in that kind of forward pack, that you kind of should be winning. Because I think, I don't think whether it's Cardiff playing Belfast or Belfast playing Sheffield or Sheffield playing, you know, Cardiff or Nottingham, you know, whatever combination, if you take those as kind of the lead pack, the top four, if you like, that are, I don't think any of those clubs have any issues getting up for or getting dialed in for those big games. It's the games like, you know, Saturday night against Dundee that I hope don't come back to that we're looking at them and going, well, that was the 2 points that decided it, or, you know, and I think it'll be something like that. It'll be something random, like, you know, Belfast losing to Fife again, or, you know, so in a random way, it'll be something like that I think is also. So you got two things. You've got to make sure you win your games against these top sides. You've also got to make sure that you show up on, it's like the old football analogy, you know, can you do it on a rainy Tuesday night in Stoke? That's what it's going to come down to, I think.
Yeah, it's a really good point, Ken, actually. And I bring Greener into that as well. And we have touched on this before, haven't we? We've talked about, you know, the Panthers side that were champions in the year we won everything. They had that knack of doing it on a Friday night in Fife or Edinburgh in that day, I guess, but also rolling it out in the big games. And to be fair, this Panthers side has done that a lot this season. Yes, it's had three defeats in a row at teams at the lower end of the table. But, you know, I don't think you're going to go through a season without having a small skid. I think every team has had one, probably bar Belfast, who, again, I'm only literally going off the top of the head. But, I mean, one of you guys, Jono or Chris, could probably say, but if they've lost two in a row, it's only been once. You know, I feel like they probably, I don't think they've lost two in a row. We were obviously up there with similar stats until this little skid here.
They've done it a couple of times.
But two's their maximum, isn't it?
Well, as far as Flash was about, I'll have a look. But yeah, like, they did it, well, a couple of weeks ago. But then, like, they got overtime losses in there.
I was going to say, some of them were points.
So they still picked up points. And then it was only early November, and that was against Cardiff and then Sheffield back to back. that they did it. But yeah, they've really been sneaking up there.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is they, I mean, I watched a bit of their game against Coventry. They weren't at their best at home, but they found a way to get a point. And yeah, I'm sure they're disappointed. I saw some fans said didn't play well enough, and they were disappointed. But Greener, I was coming to you, wasn't I? It is the sign of a good side. That's what's key to a success, isn't it? Being able to do it, kind of a flashy win against your big rivals in front of a big crowd, but also going somewhere tough, maybe even midweek, and grinding out a win.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I agree with what Ken said there. It's, obviously Belfast have a little bit of an edge, so you obviously want to get some points back against them. But yeah, I think the sort of top three or four will kind of beat each other probably the rest of the way. No one's going to go 4-0 against the other one or lose all four. But it's those other little games where, like you said, Belfast didn't have their best night, but they pick up that point against Coventry, and then they get, they still get a 3-point weekend. So, yeah, I think, for example, this weekend we're not playing any of the sort of in quotations, big teams. But again, if we can pick up 3 or 4 points, and a couple of the other teams maybe don't do that, that's where you make that ground up. So yeah, as Ken said, I think Sheffield's the Belfast. There's no problem getting up for those games where they're all going to be very close, probably. We're all going to take some points. But yeah, it's that consistency. It's going away on a Wednesday night, on a Friday night, in a double header, making sure you get, 3 to 4 points. And yeah, it's going to be a dogfight right to the end. But I think it's going to be that consistency, staying fit. Obviously, everybody's probably going to still pick up more injuries, but it's just a marathon, and it's just about chipping away at it, and yeah, just obviously picking up as many points as possible.
Just want to touch on, were you about to say something there, Ken? I saw you unmute
Yeah,
yourself.
no, I was just gonna say, I was just listening to Greener there and made some good points, and I think the other thing about points is there's every game there's 3 points up for grabs. And that is the th that is gonna that's another difference maker. Is if you're not picking up two, are you picking up the extra one? If it's not a 4-point weekend, is it a 3-point weekend? I think that's massive as well. Every game there's 3 points up for grabs. I think that's a key thing. So yeah, that's a really good point, Greener.
And you do look away, don't you? You look at the other games when your rivals are playing, and you never want 3-point games. So when it's
No.
Coventry, you're looking and like going, even if, let's say it's Belfast Cardiff, you're like, even if
You want a
Belfast,
conclusive victory for either side, really.
yeah, and I'm sure every set of fans, everybody's doing it. And I look at it and think, right, what would I rather in this game? Well, coming up, it's Cardiff Belfast. I'd rather Cardiff beat Belfast with 2 points. But if it had to be Belfast with two, I'd be okay as long as Cardiff got none. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
just it's got to be conclusive, and I'm sure everybody. But the thing is, the nature of these top four teams at the moment, and Manchester, who continue to chip away. Although Coventry really sold them one the other day, didn't they? Where they, I noticed they pulled the netminder twice and scored and ended up winning in
Yeah,
OT.
and Dundee
Yeah.
have beaten them tonight.
Dundee have beaten Manchester tonight now, yeah?
Yeah, albeit in overtime, but Dundee have won
Okay.
tonight.
So they've picked up another point there. They are on a great run. But no, those games, of course, the games being the top teams are going to be close. Before we finish, I just want to talk about some players that have come into form. I feel like you've not spoken much recently, Chris Gadsby. What are you laughing at?
No, I was just thinking in my mind, I was thinking, how good was Cooper Zek on Sunday
Oh my
night?
God, you read my mind. There you go. Let's go, Coop. Because you've gone first, you first,
No.
then. Okay.
As long as TSGG talks about cubes,
Yeah.
that's fine.
We're
But
on the same wavelength. I mean, Chris, Cooper Zek has been brilliant since probably the Continental Cup. Outstandingly brilliant. He was everywhere on Sunday. His form is a joy to see, isn't it, Chris?
yeah, absolutely. Now, I think the you know, there's plenty in that decor as well. You know, the likes of David Noel, as we said, could have had a hat trick the other night, and to be able to get points from those is really significant. And I think, you know, we've been talking about it, 20 games to go, and you know, Panthers, you know, how many points? I mean, it's a debate we could have a whole podcast on, is how many points with a maximum of 89 that Panthers can reach, how many points do they need if they're going to get the league title? And I think to get those wins, the D is really important, not only in obviously keeping the puck out from a defensive point of view, but when they can pop up with goals like Cooper's been doing, like David's been doing, it really helps the team.
Yeah, come on, a bit with you, Ken, because you were kind of your face lit up when we were going to talk about it. Coops has been brilliant.
Yeah, I think, yeah, like you say, Continental Cup, it was vintage Cooper Zec Sunday night, definitely 100% vintage Cooper. You know, just I think for me as well, it's the confidence that he's playing with, the confidence, the air, the extra air of kind of skill. And just really, he's just really stepped up, and that's what we need. We need it in this final run in for those big players. You know, he was re-signed on the back of, you know, his performances last season, and particularly going into the playoffs, and you know, in the playoffs as well. What you need these top players on form. Pearson's another one, I think, that you know had a great game on Sunday night. And it does seem to be that, you know, we're better when he's in the lineup. He just adds that additional level of skill, that awareness, positioning. He always seems to be in the right position and works really, really hard, and is additions on goals and creativity. Just I think we noticeably miss it when he's not in the lineup.
Yeah, Jono, anything to add on sort of those points there?
I thought, I just echo what everybody else said. I thought Cooper was brilliant on Sunday, and I also agree with Ken about Chase, who I think has been brilliant since he came back. He just adds such a dimension to the team, with the way he's just so good on the puck, so strong on the puck, brings other players into the game. Just a really, really important player for us. But I also think David Noel on Saturday night as well, with 2 plus 1. I did initially call it a hat trick, but as Greener rightly pointed out on comms, it was Tim Doherty with the tip, who's another who's been playing really well, been getting lots of points. So yeah, I think if they can all come into form, and all for Saturday, because they're going to need to, because that's going to be a difficult game on Saturday. Coventry are in such a good run of form.
I think you make the point about Pearson as well. I almost feel as though his great play hasn't translated into points. Do you know what I mean?
No, I think you look at the work that he does, the room he makes for plays, the way he can shield the puck, hold the puck, bring other players into the game.
He's an unselfish player, I
Yeah,
think.
completely. Yeah, really, really unselfish.
I see what you're saying with that, but you look at what he's been doing, and it's 38 points in 33 games. So he's over a point per game, but I think
Yeah, what
he's
were you
done it really
expecting?
quietly.
Yeah.
I guess
Over
what I'm trying. I guess what I'm trying to say is, it's not a negative. It's actually a positive. What you know,
massively.
what I'm saying is, he dominates games. He does things that you look at it and go, wow. But what I suppose, you know, what I'm trying to say is, it doesn't always lead to an assist or a goal. But I don't think that matters, because you see what I mean? That's my
His
point.
contribution, he's a team first guy. That's what he strikes me as.
Yeah, and at the end of the season, you know, he'll probably end up scoring over a point a game.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely, you know, I mean, he definitely will. But you'll look back, and it will be more than that. Do you know what I mean? And then I'll look back and think, like you say, the space he created and
The
just
vision, for that pass on Zek's goal in Cardiff, like
it's just
he's threading it through the eye of a needle and Zek's wide open for that shot, and he's moved, it's just brilliant. It's just that is vision to make that move inside and then play that pass.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. Greener, just finally on you. I mean, you know, those types of players. I mean, you know, I'm trying to think your era, David Ling, obviously, you know, they're the ones that they remembered. You know, I guess they were just a joy. They're a joy to have on your team, aren't they?
Yeah, I think Chase is that sort of player that he just like drives the play. Like every time he's on the ice, he has the puck. Like Ken said, I think, you know, he just holds players off. He's so dominant. Like, I think Jordan Fox was a bit like that. You know, he was big and physical, and every time he was out there, he did something. He just, and yeah, I think Chase is really unselfish. I think a lot of the time, I think he could probably shoot a bit more, but he's always looking to set up his line mates. And, but he does everything, you know, he penalty kills, he's vital on the power play. And yeah, he just kind of quietly goes about it. You know, as you say, he's well over a point a game, but he kind of gets lost in the shuffle a bit. But I think he's probably our most important, impactful forward all the way. I think when he's out the lineup, we probably miss him more than we would miss anybody. I think he just drives the play so much for us. So yeah, I mean, he's been huge, and obviously he's missed, you know, a few games here and there, but hopefully he's fit for the rest of the season. And yeah, as you all said, he's obviously going to be well over a point a game by the time it's all said and done. So I can't really think of a better forward than him in the league. Anybody you would take over him? So yeah, top player.
And there was a really interesting, just coming in on that, it was a really interesting debate between a Sheffield fan and a Panthers fan on Twitter, where Panthers fan said Chase Pearson was the best player in the league, and this Sheffield fan came back at him and said, "Oh, Mitchell Barmas," and they're both great players,
yeah,
both great forwards. But I think for me, I know obviously I've seen Chase Pearson more, but I think Chase Pearson, because of his all-round game and what he brings, I would take Pearson over Barmas.
And you're right, and that's exactly kind of where, and I saw that debate start. I don't think I ever followed it through, but I actually saw that. And then I remember thinking, you know, you, as I say, scoring at whatever point a game, great. But, you know, stats, points and goals are not everything. But hey, I'd still love Mitchell Baumas on my team, 100%.
Right, me too.
I was
going to
say, Mitchell Baumas on the one-on-one, if you're going and putting money on at the bookies, you'd pile your money on one-on-one Mitch Baumas. But
my thing says less than a minute. Yeah. Thanks for joining us, guys, on the podcast. And we look forward to the weekend, Coventry at home on Saturday. But for now, thanks for joining us on the pregame podcast.